Chapter 117. Brimmed at an arm's length in the air as a token of devout thanksgiving, exclaiming, meanwhile, how little did I think of this here joyful meeting when I saw him last. Oh, how little did I think it. Apostrophe apostrophe, be composed, sir, apostrophe, said Ralph, with a gruff expression of sympathy, you have got him now. Apostrophe, got him. Oh, haven't I got him? Have I got him, though? Apostrophe, cried Mr. Snawley, scarcely able to believe it. Yes, here he is, flesh and blood, flesh and blood. Apostrophe, very little flesh, apostrophe, said John Browdie. Mr. Snawley was too much occupied by his parental feelings to notice this remark, and, to assure himself more completely of the restoration of his child, tucked his head under his arm again, and kept it there. What was it, apostrophe, said Snawley, that made me take such a strong interest in him, when that worthy instructor of youth brought him to my house? What was it that made me burn all over with a wish to chastise him severely for cutting away from his best friends, his pastors and masters? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it was parental instinct, sir, apostrophe, observed Squeers. That's what it was, sir, apostrophe, rejoined Snawley. The elevated feeling, the feeling of the ancient Romans and Grecians, and of the beasts of the field and birds of the air, with the exception of rabbits and tomcats, which sometimes devour their offspring. My heart yearned towards him. I could have, I don't know what I couldn't have done to him in the anger of a father. Apostrophe, it only shows what matter is, sir, apostrophe, said Mr. Squeers. She's Ramon, is matter. Apostrophe, she is a holy thing, sir, apostrophe, remarked Snawley. I believe you, apostrophe, added Mr. Squeers, with a moral sigh. I should like to know how we should ever get on without her. Matter, apostrophe, said Mr. Squeers, solemnly, is more easier conceived than described. Oh, what a blessed thing, sir, to be in a state of matter. Apostrophe, apostrophe, pending this philosophical discourse, the bystanders had been quite stupefied with amazement, while Nicholas had looked keenly from Snawley to Squeers, and from Squeers to Ralph, divided between his feelings of disgust, doubt, and surprise. At this juncture, Smike, escaping from his father, fled to Nicholas, and implored him, in most moving terms, never to give him up, but to let him live and die beside him. If you are this boy's father, apostrophe, said Nicholas, look at the wreck he is, and tell me that you purpose to send him back to that loathsome den from which I brought him. Apostrophe, scandal again. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Squeers. Recollect, you ain't worth powder and shot, but I'll be even with you one way or another. Apostrophe, stop, apostrophe, interposed Ralph, as Snawley was about to speak. Let us cut this matter short, and not bandy words here with hare-brained profligates. This is your son, as you can prove. And you, Mr. Squeers, you know this boy to be the same that was with you for so many years under the name of Smike. Do you? Apostrophe, do I? Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Squeers. Don't I? Apostrophe, good, apostrophe, said Ralph. A very few words will be sufficient here. You had a son by your first wife, Mr. Snawley? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I had, apostrophe, replied that person, and there he stands. Apostrophe, we'll show that presently, apostrophe, said Ralph. You and your wife were separated, and she had the boy to live with her when he was a year old. You received a communication from her when you had lived apart a year or two that the boy was dead, and you believed it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, of course I did. Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Snawley. Oh, the joy of apostrophe, be rational, sir, pray, apostrophe, said Ralph. This is business, and transports interfere with it. This wife died a year and a half ago, or thereabouts, not more, in some obscure place, where she was housekeeper in a family. Is that the case? Apostrophe, that's the case, apostrophe, replied Snawley. having written on her deathbed a letter or confession to you about this very boy, which, as it was not directed otherwise than in your name, only reached you, and that by a circuitous course, a few days since. Just so, sets nulli. Correct in every particular, sir. And this confession, resumed Ralph, is to the effect that his death was an invention of hers to wound you was a part of a system of annoyance, in short, which you seem to have adopted towards each other, that the boy lived, but was of weak and imperfect intellect, that she sent him by a trusty hand to a cheap school in Yorkshire, that she had paid for his education for some years, and then, being poor, and going a long way off, gradually deserted him, for which she prayed forgiveness? Snolly nodded his head, and wiped his eyes, the first slightly, the last violently. The school was Mr. Squeers, continued Ralph. The boy was left there in the name of Smike. Every description was fully given. Dates tally exactly with Mr. Squeers' books. Mr. Squeers is lodging with you at this time. You have two other boys at his school. You communicated the whole discovery to him. He brought you to me as the person who had recommended to him the kidnapper of his child. And I brought you here. Is that so? You talk like a good book, sir. That's got nothing in its inside. But what's the truth? Replied Snolly. This is your pocketbook, said Ralph, producing one from his coat. The certificates of your first marriage, and of the boy's birth, and your wife's two letters, and every other paper that can support these statements directly or by implication, are here, are they? Every one of them, sir. And you don't object to their being looked at here, so that these people may be convinced of your power to substantiate your claim at once in law and reason, and you may resume your control over your own son without more delay. Do I understand you? I couldn't have understood myself better, sir. There, then, said Ralph, tossing the pocketbook upon the table. Let them see them if they like. And as those are the original papers, I should recommend you to stand near while they are being examined, or you may chance to lose some. With these words Ralph sat down unbidden, and compressing his lips, which were for the moment slightly parted by a smile, folded his arms, and looked for the first time at his nephew. Nicholas, stung by the concluding taunt, darted an indignant glance at him, but commanding himself as well as he could, entered upon a close examination of the documents, at which John Browdie assisted. There was nothing about them which could be called in question. The certificates were regularly signed as extracts from the parish books. The first letter had a genuine appearance of having been written and preserved for some years. The handwriting of the second tallied with it exactly, making proper allowance for its having been written by a person in extremity. And there were several other corroboratory scraps of entries and memoranda which it was equally difficult to question. Dear Nicholas, whispered Kate, who had been looking anxiously over his shoulder, can this be really the case? Is this statement true? I fear it is, answered Nicholas. What say you, John? John scratched his head and shook it, but said nothing at all. You will observe, ma'am, said Ralph, addressing himself to Mrs. Nickleby, that this boy being a minor, and not of strong mind, we might have come here tonight, armed with the powers of the law, and backed by a troop of its myrmidons. I should have done so, ma'am, unquestionably, but for my regard for the feelings of yourself, and your daughter. You have shown your regard for her feelings well, said Nicholas, drawing his sister towards him. Thank you, replied Ralph. Your praise, sir, is commendation, indeed. Said Squeers, what's to be done? The Hackney coach horses will catch cold, if we don't think of moving. There's one of 'em a-sneezing now, so that he blows the street door right open. What's the order of the day? Is Master Snolly to come along with us? Apostrophe, no, 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 apostrophe replied Smike, drawing back, and clinging to Nicholas. No, pray, no, I will not go from you with him. No, no, apostrophe, this is a cruel thing, apostrophe said Snolly, looking to his friends for support. Do parents bring children into the world for this? Apostrophe, do parents bring children into the world for thought? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said John Browdy bluntly, pointing, as he spoke, to Squeers. Never you mind, apostrophe, retorted that gentleman, tapping his nose derisively. Never I mind. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said John, no, nor never nobody mind, sayst thou, schoolmeister. It's nobody's minding that keeps psych men as thou afloat. Knew then, where best thou come into. Dang it, didn't come treading o'er me, mun. Apostrophe, suiting the action to the word, John Browdy just jerked his elbow into the chest of Mr. Squeers, who was advancing upon Smike, with so much dexterity, that the schoolmaster reeled and staggered back upon Ralph Nickleby, and being unable to recover his balance, knocked that gentleman off his chair, and stumbled heavily upon him. This accidental circumstance was the signal for some very decisive proceedings. In the midst of a great noise, occasioned by the prayers and entreaties of Smike, the cries and exclamations of the women, and the vehemence of the men, demonstrations were made of carrying off the lost son by violence. Squeers had actually begun to haul him out, when Nicholas, who, until then, had been evidently undecided how to act, took him by the collar, and shaking him, so that such teeth as he had, shattered in his head, politely escorted him to the room door, and thrusting him into the passage, shut it upon him. Now, apostrophe said Nicholas to the other two, have the goodness to follow your friend. Apostrophe, I want my son, apostrophe said Snolly. Your son, apostrophe replied Nicholas, chooses for himself. He chooses to remain here, and he shall. Apostrophe, you won't give him up? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Snolly. I would not give him up against his will, to be the victim of such brutality as that to which you would consign him, apostrophe replied Nicholas, if he were a dog or a rat. Apostrophe, knock that Nickleby down with a candlestick, apostrophe cried Mr. Squeers, through the keyhole, and bring out my hat, somebody, will you, unless he wants to steal it. Apostrophe, I am very sorry, indeed, apostrophe said Mrs. Nickleby, who, with Mrs. Browdy, had stood crying and biting her fingers in a corner, while Kate, very pale, but perfectly quiet, had kept as near her brother as she could. I am very sorry, indeed, for all this. I really don't know what would be best to do, and that's the truth. Nicholas ought to be the best judge, and I hope he is. Of course, it's a hard thing to have to keep other people's children, though young Mr. Snolly is certainly as useful and willing as it's possible for anybody to be. But, if it could be settled in any friendly manner, if old Mr. Snolly, for instance, would settle to pay something certain for his board and lodging, and some fair arrangement was come to, so that we undertook to have fish twice a week, and a pudding twice, or a dumpling, or something of that sort, I do think that it might be very satisfactory and pleasant for all parties. Apostrophe, this compromise, which was proposed with abundance of tears and sighs, not exactly meeting the point at issue, nobody took any notice of it, and poor Mrs. Nickleby accordingly proceeded to enlighten Mrs. Browdy upon the advantages of such a scheme, and the unhappy results flowing, on all occasions, from her not being attended to when she proffered her advice. You, sir, apostrophe said Snolly, addressing the terrified Smike, are an unnatural, ungrateful, unlovable boy. You won't let me love you when I want to. Won't you come home, won't you? Apostrophe, no, 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 apostrophe cried Smike, shrinking back. He never loved nobody, apostrophe bawled Squeers, through the keyhole. He never loved me, He never loved Wackford, who is next door, but one to a cherubim. How can you expect that he'll love his father? He'll never love his father, he won't. He don't know what it is to have a father. He don't understand it. It and in him. Apostrophe, Mr. Snolly looked steadfastly at his son for a full minute, and then covering his eyes with his hand, and once more raising his hat in the air, appeared deeply occupied in deploring his black ingratitude. Then drawing his arm across his eyes, he picked up Mr. Squeers' hat, and taking it under one arm, and his own under the other, walked slowly and sadly out. Your romance, sir, apostrophe said Ralph, lingering for a moment, is destroyed, I take it. No unknown, no persecuted descendant of a man of high degree, but the weak, imbecile son of a poor, petty tradesman. We shall see how your sympathy melts before plain matter of fact. Apostrophe, you shall, apostrophe said Nicholas, motioning towards the door. And trust me, sir, apostrophe added Ralph, that I never supposed you would give him up tonight. Pride, obstinacy, reputation for fine feeling, were all against it. These must be brought down, sir, lowered, crushed, as they shall be soon. The protracted and wearing anxiety and expense of the law in its most oppressive form, its torture from hour to hour, its weary days and sleepless nights, with these I'll prove you, and break your haughty spirit, strong as you deem it now. And when you make this house a hell, and visit these trials upon yonder wretched object as you will, I know you, and those who think you now a young-fledged hero, we'll go into old accounts between us two, and see who stands the debtor, and comes out best at last, even before the world. Apostrophe, Ralph Nickleby withdrew. But Mr. Squeers, who had heard a portion of this closing address, and was by this time wound up to a pitch of impotent malignity almost unprecedented, could not refrain from returning to the parlor door, and actually cutting some dozen capers with various wry faces and hideous grimaces, expressive of his triumphant confidence in the downfall and defeat of Nicholas. Having concluded this war dance, in which his short trousers and large boots had borne a very conspicuous figure, Mr. Squeers followed. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.